talk is about to begin. Hey, 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 come on in.
Welcome back to Buckeye Talk. I'm Stephen Means, and that's Andrew Gillis. And we are 5 days away from the Ohio State spring game on Saturday at noon, inside the Shoe, or on your televisions on Fox. If you want to go, though, if you're in the Ohio area and want to make your way down here for, I mean, the eclipse is happening today, so maybe you're already in this area to go see that. But if you want to stay for the weekend and go to the spring game, I think it's only $10, which used to be $5, but no inflation. So it's $10, but also you can get the text, which is only $3.99, 614-350-3315. 2 week free trial, $3.99. After that, we talk everything, football, recruiting, nonsense. Actually, we need to get more into some nonsense. We haven't done as much nonsense lately, but the football is almost kind of over for a little bit after Saturday. We'll probably get the assistant coaches at some point after Saturday just to wrap up things. But then, listen, we got a month full of just nonsense before those camps pick up, and Andrew's going to be out there in the hot sun watching Ohio State's potential future. But right now we're talking about the potential future in terms of who could be coming to the spring game. Ohio State, a lot of their official visits happened in June. They've been doing that basically since Ryan Day took over. And there were a lot of people in here, Andrew, too, a week and a half ago when we were in there for the Student Appreciation Day practice. There were some big names there. Maybe not the same just quantity overall list in terms of quantity and quality for the spring game, but there's still some pretty big guys on there, right?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that you look at when you look at the list, I mean, for the Student Appreciation Day, there were a lot of big time names. Jordan Davison was here, Bo Jackson was here, the two running backs, a lot of really good receivers. Jamie French was here, Philip Bell was here. They had a 2026 wide receiver, Jabari Brady. He's a 5-star player. He was here. I'm trying to think. Jaden Hudson, 4-star safety who just put Ohio State in his top four, was here. Trent Wilson, who just announced that he has a top four and will be making a commitment this week, he was here. Like, there were a lot of David Sanders Jr., the number 2 overall player in this country, who's an offensive tackle. I think Ohio State fans might like that, particular addition to a class. So there was a lot of guys here, even, you know, new commit London Merritt, a lot of guys here that were really kind of big time prospects. So, you know, you don't want to, you know, poo-poo the list for the spring game, but there was definitely maybe more of an emphasis on 2025 for that. And for the spring game, it's definitely, you know, there's a significant list of 2026 kids. So as we get into it, you know, we can talk about these kids as we go. But yeah, the week before, 2 weeks before, I guess, was kind of the big push for 2025.
So Ohio State's 2025 class, 11 commitments. We talked about that last Tuesday, how they've essentially been on a run for the past couple of weeks here and getting commits. Number 2 class in the country behind Notre Dame. And as you mentioned, they've only got one commit in their 2026 class so far. That's Chris Henry Jr., the son of the former Cincinnati Bengal, who has since passed. He's the number 2 player, the number 1 wide receiver in the country. And because they have the number 2 player and the number 1 wide receiver in the country, they have the number 1 recruiting class in 2026. But that's not said. There's not a lot of 2026 guys who are committed right now. So, but still, it's you know, at one point, Ohio State can say they had the number 1 class in 2026. We're going to, for the sake of structure, we're going to talk about the top 5 most important players visiting Ohio State for the spring game. But before we do that, just because I want to separate these guys from the players who are coming, because some of these guys are commits, some of these guys are targets. Between the 25 class and the 26 class, how many commits are you expecting to be there on Saturday, Andrew?
Yeah, well, you know, we're Tavian will obviously be here. Tavian St. Clair, you know, he actually just got boosted up to 5-star status per the 247 Sports Composite. He's now the number 19 overall player, number 4 quarterback in the country, and the number 1 player in the state. So he he's here all the time. It would be more news if he wasn't here. I'll put it like that. He's here all the time. New commit Deshaun Stewart's expected to be here. 5-star five-star corner Devin Sanchez is expected to be here. 5-star receiver in the next class in 2026, Chris Henry Jr. is expected to be here. Blake Woodby, the kid out of Maryland, the 4-star safety who is the third corner commit. What do I keep doing that? The third corner commit in the class behind Naheem Offord and and Devin Sanchez is expected to be here. So they've got a nice little crop of recruits coming. They've got a, you know, they've got a nice little group of guys headed up to Columbus for the spring game. And you know, for all of these guys, it's, you know, not a, maybe not a, a remarkably long trip, but for all but one of them, it's a fairly fairly notable trip for them to take.
So they'll be obviously leading the charge there with a lot of the recruitment stuff. That's a good thing. I mean, Devin Sanchez, the more he's up here, the better, because it's a five-star cornerback, and I understand he's been committed for a while, and he's got some parents who are pretty locked in on this recruitment. They're pretty vocal about it, which is kind of awesome to see, but also he's from Texas. So the more you see him, the better. So we're going to count this down from 5 to 1, Andrew, the most important targets coming to the spring game on Saturday. That could be any class. It could be 25, it could be 26, it could be 29. Who knows? You know, listen, there's people who get offered as eighth graders. Quinn Ewers got offered by Ohio State as an eighth grader. It happens at sometimes. So let's start with number 5, Andrew. Who's your fifth most important player coming to the spring game on Saturday?
Yeah, well, we just talked about him, and I thought about this was, I was like, you know, is this cheating? I don't know if this is cheating. But then I watched what happened at Student Appreciation Day. And I watched kind of how things unfolded as practice unfolded, as we were kind of there and watching everything. And that's why I think Tavian St. Clair has to be on this list. And I understand he's committed. And I understand he's locked in. And I understand everything that goes into that. I know Ohio State is trying to sway a lot of kids that they are going to be that they're going to be recruiting here in this next weekend. But that's also the job of Tavian St. Clair. And I think Tavian is on this list for a unique reason. And that is because you look at Tavian St. Clair and go, this guy has some pull, right? Who doesn't want to play for a five-star quarterback, right? Who doesn't want to be part of a program where you're building something great with that type of kid? You know, that type of kid off the field, that type of kid on the field, right? That's a really special thing to have. So, I mean, we saw it, Steven. You were right there with me. Everywhere David Sanders Jr. was last weekend for that Student Appreciation Day practice, Tavian St. Clair was in his hip pocket. He was right there. You don't think he was talking to the receivers and talking to Jordan Davison? Like, he was all over the place. And Tavian kind of cracked to me one time. I went up to visit him in Bell Fountain, and one of the things that he said was, he was like, yeah, I think I do some more recruiting sometimes than some of the coaches. Because the coaches come from a very different angle, right? You're 35 years old, or however old the coach is that recruiting you, 35, 40, whatever you are. And you're recruiting a kid to come to your school, and it's a very traditional coach-player relationship. Tavian has the advantage of being 17 and knowing what these kids are going through, and knowing what these kids like, and being able to relate to them that, frankly, a coach can't. I don't care how great of a coach Tim Walton is, or how great of a recruiter they are, or Brian Hartline, or anybody on staff. It's just different when you're relating to someone your age. And that's why I think every weekend that Tavian's here is a massive weekend, because it's not just, hey, look, he's even more locked in than he was to Ohio State before. That's not the point. It's, look at all of these kids that Ohio State is bringing in. And you've got not only a bunch of recruiters in the coaching staff and in the staffers and everybody with the university, you're talking about a recruiter that you have in the midst, right? You were talking about a guy that is with these group of kids. And I was going to, it sounds meaner than I want it to be, but a fox in the hen house, basically. You've got a guy that can just start picking people off and say, hey, you know, the coaching staff really wants this kid, time to put on the charm. And I think that that's a huge deal.
I understand why you put him on this list. This is a five-star quarterback, which means he's the leader of your class. But in general, when you've got a five-star from your state who committed as early as Tavian St. Clair did, it can sometimes reap a lot of benefits long-term. You saw that with C.J. Hicks as he was helping to build the 2022 class. You really saw it with Jack Sawyer in 2021. He committed so early. I've actually been working on a story about Jack Sawyer, just his journey here that will be running in May. And I'll probably start texting some stuff out, just some little tidbits about that. So get the text 614-350-3315. But Jack Sawyer committed so quickly. And just like Tavian St. Clair, it was kind of boring after that, for lack of a better way of putting it. And I've told Jack that he just was at Ohio State all the time. He was at spring practices. He was camping in the summer at Ohio State. He wasn't really visiting anywhere else, and he wasn't very active on social media, the same way that Tavian kind of is. But behind the scenes, a lot of people knew Tavian St. Clair was playing a vital role, and his family were playing a vital role in building this class. And you saw the same thing with CJ Hicks in 2022. In 2023, you saw a similar thing with Luke Montgomery when he came aboard. 2024, not so much the same concept, because there wasn't necessarily that, you know, top 10 player in the country from Ohio. But with Tavian St. Clair, you're clearly seeing the same thing here. I agree with this. It's not news that he's coming, that he's going to be on campus. It's never really, I mean, we were in there on Wednesday, Andrew, and he's in there with the quarterbacks, you know, hanging out and doing what. So it's not news that he's going to be here, but it still is important that he's going to be here, because the more FaceTime he gets with everybody else in the country who's coming to these visits, the better. So, five-star quarterback from Ohio, yeah, who has shown no signs that Ohio State should even be worried about its quarterback recruiting in 2025. Good pick for number five. Number four.
Yeah, so there were different criteria that I had for this list, and it was kind of a unique thing to try and balance them, because I think with Tavian, like I said, I am not concerned for Ohio State that Tavian St. Clair is going to decommit at any time, you know, unless the program folds. Mm-hmm. So I feel pretty safe that he's going to be here. So I had him on this list for a completely different reason that I have this next guy on this list, and that's Byron Lewis. He's a running back in the 2025 class, four-star player, number 198 in the class, number 14 running back. I think that this is really big, because what have we talked about with Tony Alford and the position that Ohio State is in right now, right? That Ohio State might be in some trouble with some of these kids. And I think that Byron Lewis is one of those guys where you're looking at him and going, huh, okay, what's good? What's going on here? Like, how are we feeling in this recruitment? And I think this is a big weekend for him, because look, Ohio State is obviously after some really talented running backs. They're after Jordan Davison. He's a top 100 running back out of Mater Dei in California, number 92 overall. Marquise Davis, we'll see where that one goes. Number 171 overall. He's a four-star player. He's out of Cleveland Heights. Bo Jackson, which I will always laugh at that name, playing running back. But Bo Jackson, he's a top 80 player. He's actually, you know, for as much as we talk about Jordan Davison, you know, being a highly rated guy and somebody that Ohio State's really in on, Bo Jackson's actually rated higher in the 247 Sports composite. He's number 77 overall. So there are guys that Ohio State is after. One of the guys that didn't make this list, Jeffrey Overton, he's a running back, a three-star running back out of Freedom High School in Virginia. I know that school personally because they broke all kinds of state records in my home state of Virginia, and they did so for 2 years. And I know that this dude can play, and I know that this dude is on a really good offense. So when I look at 835, I've seen his tape. I'm a little skeptical of that, but they have guys on this list that are kind of, not to say safety schools or safety outlets for these guys, but that's kind of what they are. And I don't know if Byron Lewis is a safety outlet. I think you're looking at the crop and you're saying, all right, Davison, Jackson, and Lewis, like you're looking at those four guys. You want to bring two in. I think getting Lewis would be a really nice swing. He's from American Heritage High School in Fort Lauderdale. What have we talked about with Ohio State running backs and Florida? You just lost one in the last cycle to Miami late in the game. I think that was like November or something like that, where you had a decommitment. Jordan Lyle goes to the Hurricanes. So Byron Lewis is getting recruited by those same schools. He's getting recruited by Miami. He's getting recruited by Florida State. He's getting recruited by Miami. This is a recruitment that I think would be very, very big for a new coach to come in and pull out of Florida and give yourself a chance and say, you know what? We can go down into Florida and get this guy, and we can keep this guy in the class. So yeah, Byron Lewis, number four on my list. I just think that, you know, had Jordan Davison been here, maybe that would have been a bigger one. Had Bo Jackson been here, maybe that would have been a bigger one. But Byron Lewis, he's still a top 200 player. He's still a very talented running back, and he still comes from a talent-rich area. That's a guy that Ohio State should be happy to have in their class, along with another running back if they get him. So that's why he's number four for me.
I'm interested to see Ohio State's running back recruiting board now that Carlos Lachlan is here. Obviously, a lot of these guys that Ohio State's been recruiting, Oregon was recruiting as well, so it's not like he's starting from scratch in any of these conversations, but I think it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. Byron Lewis was here last summer. He wasn't at a camp, but Ohio State has this 7-on-7 thing they do every year that they host, and some kids from Florida came up. And as a matter of fact, the team they were playing on was with Ryan Day's son as their quarterback. And he looked pretty good there. He has a great relationship with Tony Offer, great relationship with Ohio State. He also plays for South Florida Express, the 707 team down there. Same high school as Brandon Ennis. Interesting guy. I think right now, to your point, there is probably a grouping of running backs where you go, who could potentially be Ohio State's two running backs in this cycle if they get two? And I think he's on that list right now. So that's number four. Let's get into number three, and then we'll take a break and get into the top two.
And I went with Sincere Johnson. He's a kid out of Glenville, which is obviously in the Cleveland area. Ohio State knows the school well. They just pulled Damarion Witten out of there. It's a really talented program, obviously, that there's the Ted Ginn connections. A lot going on there for Ohio State. The reason I have him here is because I think this kid has a really high upside. And the 2026 rankings are always a bit unique. You know, I wrote a story this week. Ohio State just offered a guy, Troy Hunn from California, Southern California area. He's unranked, but you look at his offer list and you're like, oh, it's Texas, it's Notre Dame, it's Penn State, it's Ohio State. And you're like, okay, this is not going to last for very long. So the rankings are a little bit unique. And this guy is an unranked prospect and he only has five scholarship offers. But the reason I have him on here is because I think I read a story a week or two ago where Notre Dame was one of those schools that was very interested in him. And I think we could have a Brennan Vernon type situation here where you have a kid in Ohio who Ohio State is interested in and just decides he wants to leave the state. And that's a really unique recruitment to me. Those recruitments are very unique because I would be saying the same thing about Aaron Scott if Aaron Scott had decided to go to Michigan or anything like that, right? Like Ohio State tries to put up a fence around the state of Ohio and keep those kids in. And I think Sincere Johnson can be a really, really talented edge rusher and a really, really talented edge player as he kind of progresses through his high school career. And Notre Dame's in on him early. And I think that this is a big weekend for Ohio State to make an impact and kind of let him know, because we all know that recruiting does matter how early you get in on these kids, right? You know, relationships do matter. And, you know, relationships are kind of what builds, you know, an early part of a recruitment. And if Notre Dame is the one that's in on him and Cincinnati's also in on him and Kentucky's also in on him, like if there are other schools that kind of jump in, they're able to kind of go back and say, hey, look, we remember when we had you here. We knew you were good here and we believed in you and we've been talking to you for 2.5 years. And then all of a sudden you have another coach come in and try to start recruiting you. It's just doesn't always work out like that. So I think Sincere Johnson, I think, is a really unique recruitment for me just because he might be one of those kids. You know, he gave a quote to another outlet where he said, you know, growing up in Cleveland, Notre Dame is always one of the schools that you want to get recruited by. And I thought that that was really interesting because obviously everybody says Ohio State. And of course, what's he going to say? He's not going to say, oh, Notre Dame offer doesn't mean anything. But I just think that that could be a really interesting one to monitor over these next couple of weeks and months and potentially years.
Seems like a guy very early in his recruitment, of course. As you mentioned, out of Glenville High School. It seems like this is going to be an important summer for him in general as he's getting around to some of these camps. Glenville always brings a huge war down to those summer camps in June, and it'll be interesting to see what Larry Johnson, when he gets his hands on him, what he likes about him, what he sees about him. He's listed at 6'3", 225 pounds right now as an edge rusher. Ohio State's starting to make some waves in Glenville again. It was a pipeline that obviously Jim Tressel, you know, made a lot of work with. Ted Ginn Jr., who's the son of Ted Ginn Sr., the head coach over there, Troy Smith from there, Marshawn Lattimore out of there. And then lately, you know, those are just some of the names on that long list. And then lately, obviously, Arvell Reese, who's now in his second year being a linebacker for Ohio State. You got Bryce West and Damarion Witten, as you mentioned, as true freshmen. Bryce West, an early enrollee. Damarion Witten will get here this summer. That pipeline, Ryan Day is really leaning on that Glenville pipeline over the last couple of years here. And if Sincere Johnson could be that next guy, that would be interesting. Those are our first three. So we have one commit, and that's Tavian St. Clair as a quarterback at number five. Byron Lewis, the four-star running back at number four. And then Sincere Johnson, a rising 2026 recruit at number three. And we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll get into the final two. Most important, most interesting. Those are interchangeable words right now. People coming to Ohio State spring game on Saturday here on Buckeye Talk. We are talking the most interesting, the most important people coming to Ohio State spring game on Saturday. A decent size list for what will be Ohio State's 15th spring practice, the spring game as well. The first time that the fans as a public national standpoint. We'll get a chance to see what their 2024 Ohio State football team looks like. We'll be watching the quarterbacks. We'll be watching the offensive line, watching the linebackers, watching everything else in between. And we'll be texting about it too. 614-350-3315, 399 after a 2-week free trial. Andrew, who's the number two most important, most interesting player coming to visit Ohio State on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm glad we changed this to most important and most interesting, because I think that there are different different kind of levels to this, right? But I'm curious to see how Tim Walton can continue this trend. And that is why I looked at Dorian Barney. He is a 4-star corner out of Georgia, Sewanee, Georgia, number 32 overall, number 3 corner in the 247 Sports Composite. This is a guy who, I mean, he's visited a handful of different schools. He just visited Florida State. His offer list has really, really, really ramped up in the last like month. Got an offer from Bama on an official visit. Got an offer from Oregon. Got an offer from Ole Miss. Got an offer from Georgia. Got an offer from Notre Dame. Got an offer from Louisville. Big time player. And he's really kind of grown into a role here where he's one of the more elite corners in the country. And going into Texas was big for Tim Walton to get Devin Sanchez. And going into Alabama was unprecedented to get Naheem Offord. Going into Maryland, not so much. That's not outlandish to go get Blake Woodby, the 4-star corner out of St. Francis Academy. Going into Georgia is also going to be very tough to get an elite corner like that, because you can bet your butt that Georgia is going to be all on that kid trying to keep him in the state, right? Just like Ohio State tries to keep kids in the state of Ohio, Georgia's going to have that same thing with Dorian Barney. So, I mean, you watch him play, he's already got good size. It's crazy to think, because we are talking about kids that are sophomores in high school that are kind of preparing for their junior years. And he's already 6 foot. He's listed at 6'1 and 170. That's a really good size at a Peachtree Ridge High School down there. So I'm curious to see what Tim Walton can pull off. And can Tim Walton keep Ohio State kind of in that recruitment? Because again, that is going to be a very, very tough recruitment, because not only do you have Georgia, you've got Alabama down there still. And I understand Alabama doesn't have Nick Saban anymore, and that does take some of the juice out of an offer. But there's still Alabama, right? That A still means something to a lot of kids down south. So, yeah, Dorian Barney for me, I think. I'm fascinated to see kind of how that recruitment goes. I'm fascinated to hear what's going on here.
Number 32 player, number 3 cornerback in the country. I'll say it's actually had some success in Georgia in recent years. Caden McDonald, they pulled out of there. Jelani Thurman, they pulled out of there. Aaron Nolan, they pulled out of there. Sewanee, Georgia, the place where Dorian Barney is from, they also pulled Jordan Hancock. That was the last time they pulled a cornerback out of Georgia. And to your point with Tim Walton, Tim Walton's got strong ties down in Georgia. So I mean, he's reached heartline levels with this, where I can go anywhere and get a guy and get a dude, right? He just went to Alabama. He just went to Texas. He just went to Maryland. It's not just the in-state guys now. He's starting to take it national here. And it does seem like 6'1", 170, he fits the build Ohio State's looking for in its cornerbacks. I think this is a very interesting one. And it's really early in a lot of these 2026 commit recruitments. So a lot of this is, what are you establishing? I don't think any of us are expecting a bunch of booms to come out of this weekend. No, if it does, kudos to Ohio State. Kudos to Tim Walton. Kudos to the rest of the coaching staff. But can you start to set the foundation for things? And then when you get into the summer and when you get into the fall months, that's when you start to see things go for the 2026 class. So that's number 2, Dorian Barney, Sewanee, Georgia. Number 1 most important, most interesting player for you, Andrew, coming this weekend.
Yep. Like I said, another 2026 kid. St. Augustine High School in New Orleans, Louisiana. Jakeem Stewart, defensive lineman. He is the number 1 player in the state of Louisiana. He is the number 1 player on the defensive line. And he is the number 1 player in the 2026 class. He is listed at 6'6" and 280 pounds, and he is a sophomore in high school. And more than that, if one of my favorite books that I've ever read is The Last Folk Hero by Jeff Perlman. It was about Bo Jackson. And it was basically, he was telling this story about how you have all these, you know, stories about Bo Jackson, and no one could really verify if they were true or not. And you read about Jakeem Stewart, and you start to think, I don't know if that's true. And then you go, oh, well, he's 6'6" and 280 pounds, and he's like 15 years old, 16 years old. His nickname is Thanos. For any Marvel fans out there, you know what I'm talking about. This is a really fascinating recruitment, because this is a recruitment that LSU should win. But again, every program in the country is going to be sending this guy a letter, is going to be interested in this guy. One of our recruiting writers, our recruiting correspondents, Robbie Fenbers, he talked with him in November. And, you know, he talked about what Coach Larry Johnson can bring him. And he said that, you know, the next defensive lineman that comes from Ohio State could be you in this class. And, you know, Jakeem mentioned Chase Young specifically. And he said that Chase Young is one of the guys that he really likes how he plays, and he really likes what he can do. You know, so I look at a guy like Jakeem Stewart, who idled himself after Chase Young, who is pretty well in tune with, pretty well in tune with Ohio State's coaching staff, because you want to be coached by the guy who coached Chase Young. That's a big deal. And I'm curious to see what Jakeem Stewart's next kind of steps in his recruitment look like. And frankly, if Larry Johnson matters that much, is Larry Johnson going to be around? I understand some Ohio State fans roll their eyes at that, but we're not talking about the 2024 season. We're talking about the 2026 season, right? Like, this guy's a sophomore in high school. So we got to get through 2024, and we got to get through 2025 for Jakeem Stewart to make it to National Signing Day, you know, and then potentially sign with Ohio State. So is Larry Johnson going to be around? How does he feel about that? What does he like about the coaching staff? Is Ohio State basically going to make enough of an impression for this kid to where he can leave the Bayou and say, you know what? I feel comfortable with this. I feel comfortable leaving the South. I remember in that story that Robbie sent out, he hadn't ever been to Ohio before. I don't know if that's changed in, you know, the last 4 or 5 months, but probably it's a big deal. So I'm curious to see what happens with Jakeem Stewart, because again, this is a kid who you hear about and you're like, whoa, 6'6", 280, and he's a sophomore in high school. Pretty ridiculous. So yeah, fascinating to see how this one plays out.
It's 5-star Jason Moore. And if you
is
look
he
at
defensive line Jeremiah Smith?
I'm not gonna go that far.
That's fair. I get that.
Listen, Jeremiah Smith is his own conversation. I don't think just because you're the number one player in the class doesn't mean you're gonna be Jeremiah Smith.
That's fair.
We're not here to talk about Jeremiah right now. Though one of our texters sent a really cool idea of what we should do, since there's so much hype around Jeremiah Smith. And I think we might do it in May. I think it'll be fun. But it's kind of Chuck Norris-y, and I love the idea of it. So I think we might end up doing that. But Jason Moore, 6'6", 305, and from out of Maryland, from DeMatha Catholic High School. And Andrew, I mean, we've talked about this at length. The first time we saw Jason Moore in pads last fall, it was like, oh.
It's a real, who is that dude? Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like a dude. And that's if a lot of the SEC defensive lines, especially Georgia and Bama, a lot of their defensive line guys, especially their tackles, look like that. They look like they're 6'5 plus, 260 plus, and can move and get off the ball, right?
Well, Georgia dudes are always pushing 300 pounds, yeah.
Yeah, that's just kind of like what they do in the SEC. And so with Jakeem Stewart, top player in the country, as you mentioned 6'6", 270 pounds. Imagine what he gets into a college football weight program, even if he's still 6'6", 270 pounds by the time he gets on the football field. 6'6", 270 pounds after a year in a college strength and conditioning program is very different than 6'6", 270 pounds, and you're still in high school doing that. I think the interesting thing here is this is a swing, and it's not so much can you get him out of Louisiana, it's can you get him out of the SEC.
Can you get him out of the South, right?
You know, because LSU is probably going to be all over this. Alabama is probably going to be all over this. Georgia is probably going to be all over this. The Florida schools are probably going to be all over this. Ole Miss is probably going to be all over this.
Texas,
Oklahoma, the SEC schools.
If you were a school that has a football program, you will have offered Jakeem Stewart.
These are always difficult. We're talking about defensive linemen from the SEC who don't necessarily have Ohio ties. Can Ohio State pull them out? They did it with Edric Houston, getting him out of Georgia. They get it with Chase Young, though that's borderline. But, I mean, his options were stay home and go to Maryland, go to Alabama, or go to Ohio State. So that counts, right? that's kind of the list, though, because outside of that, the Bosa brothers, yes, but the Bosa brothers also had Ohio State ties. You know, their parents went to this school, so it's a little different. Jakeem Stewart would be Chase Young level, Edric Houston level. JT Tuimoloau is from the West Coast, but still, that's like a guy who has no business coming to Ohio State, and Larry Johnson went and did it. The Larry Johnson rumors of whether or not he's going to retire or not are never going to go away. They're going to continue.
Until he actually does retire,
Yeah, and every other year we're going to ask him about it, and he'll say, I'll say when I'm done. But just in general, I think this is an interesting – this is another opportunity for Ohio State to go get a guy that it has no business getting. And what a heck of a pool it would be.
Yeah, you know, so I looked this up as you were talking. I know they run different schemes. I know they ask different guys to do different things. But, like, for example, Georgia has 9 guys on the defensive line that are over 300 pounds, and Ohio State has 5. Now,
some of that is scheme. Some of that is scheme and what you want from your defensive lineman. Ohio State doesn't run a 3-4, so having the whole bunch of 300-pounders isn't necessary the same way.
Right, but you still look at some of these guys, 6'5", 350, 6'4", 340. 6'5", 325, 6'4", 320, 6'3", 320, 6'4", 313. Like, you run through those lists and those names, and you're like, okay, those guys are huge. Those guys are massive, massive human beings. And I think that this could be an area where Ohio State kind of makes up for that because, you know, this isn't the NFL where, you know, you have, you know, everybody's, you know, really strong and everybody can kind of move guys like that. This is a thing where I think you're certainly not going to turn it down if a kid can move and he also weighs 335 pounds. I mean, that's just what Georgia has done really well. So I think, you know, this could be a real, real difference maker in the interior of Ohio State's defense, a real, real like showstopper, if you will, on the front four.
So those are our top five. Those are not the only people. There's north of maybe 15 people, maybe 20 people who are expected to be at the spring game on Saturday. So get the text 614-350-3315. Andrew will be letting you know all that information there first for anywhere else. 2-week free trial, $3.99 after that. That's our top five. Jakeem Stewart, the top player in the 2026 class, 5-star recruit out of Louisiana. Dorian Barney, 4-star cornerback out of Georgia, the number 3 cornerback in the country. Sincere Johnson, a rising 2026 Glenville product defensive lineman. 2 defensive linemen on this list. And then Byron Lewis, a 4-star running back out of Florida. And Taven St. Clair, the lone commit on here, as the 5-star quarterback. Ohio State's latest 5-star quarterback. They got one in 2021 with Kyle McCord. They got Quinn Ewers in 2022/2021. And they got one in Aaron Nolan this past cycle in 2024. And it looks like they're going to have another one in 2025 as well. And let's see what happens in that 2026 class with quarterback now they've lost the top target to Georgia. That'll wrap up this pod. This is a shorter pod because we got some fun stuff coming this week leading up to the spring game. We're expected to talk with Ryan Day, Carlos Lachlan for the first time since Ryan Day hired him as his new running backs coach. Spring game draft coming up. Andrew gets his first crack at it. It'll be Andrew against Nathan. We're going to split it up this year because there's so many guys that you can consider on both sides of the ball. We're going to do offense. I think it's going to be Tuesday. And then defense is going to be Wednesday. And then later this week, we're going to have a texter pod, man. It's rants. Not really rants, though, because it can be if you have a rant, but more of a, we want to hear from you guys as the texters, 614-350-3315, and what it is you want to see from Ohio State on Saturday. What needs to happen in the spring game that makes you as a fan leave that game feeling confident about where things are headed and then in the 2024 spring game? And then obviously we'll get a chance to see one more practice later this week before the spring game on Saturday. So get the text 614-350-3315. For Andrew Gillis, I'm Stephen Means, and that was Buckeye Talk.